Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to wrap up this week taking a look at the readings the church gives us for Mass today. The first reading is from James chapter 2, and the gospel reading is the call I mentioned yesterday a little bit, began to touch on it. Jesus' call to discipleship, where he lays down the terms. He describes what are the terms of becoming a disciple? What does it mean to be a disciple? And what does Jesus require of all those who want to be a learner, want to come under his leadership? But first, James. In the reading today, it's a very clear, strong teaching from the letter of James about the relationship between faith and works. And essentially what he's saying is that true faith always expresses itself in works. And what kind of works? Deeds of love. Now, the church echoes this teaching very, very clearly. And the Catholic Church is clear the importance of works, that faith and works go together. And the gift of salvation, of the gift of new life that we receive in baptism, God's free gift, is not a result of my work. It's not something that I've earned. It's not something I deserve or that I have a right to. It's God's sheer mercy. By faith, you have been saved through grace. Grace is God's mercy. He offers us the gift of freedom from the power of sin and death, and offers us the gift of new life in baptism and the forgiveness of our sins. That's God's free gift to us. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. We don't have any claim on it. But once we say yes to that work of grace, even being able to grasp the significance of what's being offered to us in the gospel, that we'd want to say yes to it, even the desire to respond, it's God's grace. We're cooperating with it. He's not forcing it upon us. He's not controlling us. The Holy Spirit's at work in us. The light is being turned on by God's mercy and grace. It comes to us through the preaching of the gospel, the church's mission and ministry, and we begin to say yes to it, and we entrust ourselves to him. That's God's grace. And what we're given in baptism is something that works could never produce. First, our life is applied to the cross of Jesus Christ, and the blood of Christ washes away the stain of original sin, purifying us, and we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is not something anybody can achieve through human effort. This is a work of Christ. This is a work of God. This is the beginning of the work of salvation in us, which is pure gift. But the response to it is to living a new way of life in the Holy Spirit. And faith is not just an idea. It's not just assenting in our minds to certain doctrines or a confession from my lips, and that's all that's needed. This is what James is going after. But James is saying, if you've said yes, if you've entrusted your life to God, what you're saying yes to is the life of the Holy Spirit within you, which is the life of God, which is the life of love. And love is expressed in deeds. It's not just in thoughts or ideas. So here's James. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear and has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you do not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also, faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Those are very, very strong words. To have faith, to be baptized into Christ, means to live the Christ life. And the Christ life ultimately is the life of love. And it's first a radical response and offering of our lives, not only in thoughts and in emotions, but in deeds, to give to God what belongs to God. To love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That means giving time, energy, attention, desire, hunger, thirst, celebrating the liturgy, doing the will of God and how God desires us, calls us to express love toward him. And that love toward him is expressed in obedience. And obedience is incarnated, right? He calls us to honor the Lord's Day, for example. if you love him, if I love him, I'm going to do that. I'm going to set aside the Lord's Day. I'm going to celebrate and worship and give him what is his due and obey the commandment to honor him. How I relate to my parents, you know, he said, the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. I'm going to show honor out of love for God and out of love for them and out of respect, because this is the will of God. And my faith teaches me that this is what matters to God, and it's the deeds in response to God and God's commandments that Jesus spoke about so often. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. James goes on, he said, indeed, someone might say, you have faith and I have works. Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. It's interesting. Father Conte La Mesa I heard him at one point say, we are not saved by our works, but we cannot be saved apart from our works. He's making the point here that James is making, that faith and works, deeds of love go together. As Paul would say, faith expressing itself in love is what the new life in Christ is really all about. And faith has to be living in that way. It's not just an idea in the mind or a certain kind of internal piety. Demonstrate your faith to me without works, and I will demonstrate my faith to you from my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. So here he's saying, you believe the faith. Yes, God is one. You believe it. That's a good thing. Then he says, but even the devil, even demons believe that and tremble. Do you want proof? You ignoramus, what a strong word. Sometimes the scripture is so strong. You want proof, you ignoramus, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? See, it wasn't just a thought. What God loved about Abraham and what was counted to him as righteousness was not just a thought. It was an actual entrusting his life to God, beginning with a call to lead his whole clan out of their place of security, everything they built, to move toward in obedience to God toward the land of promise, a place where he didn't even know where it was. And he had to radically trust the commands of God. And it wouldn't have been enough for him just to stay where he was and say, okay, I believe you said this to me, and I believe it's true. But faith that pleased God was the faith of Abraham, you know, breaking camp and putting all his eggs in God's basket, entrusting his whole life to God and becoming a nomad of faith. And here, James is talking about Abraham trusting God so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son. I mean, it was an outstanding act of trust. Abraham believed that God would be able to even raise somebody from the dead. And the scripture is very clear, and it might even say in this passage, I know it says it in James, where God was not afraid to call Abraham his friend, because he literally leaned on God in such a way that if he wasn't there, he'd fall flat on his face. The reading goes on. He says, you see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. There it is. See how a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. For just as a body without a spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. It's a good summary of a Catholic perspective of the relationship between faith and works. And in the gospel reading, Jesus calls us, and it's just, now this is Friday of the week before we're going to begin the season of Lent. We've been talking about that, making reference to it this week. I wanted to talk about it this week to help us together prepare for this season, so it's not just kind of out of habit, but that we intentionally understand we're being invited by the Lord to take a deep look at where we are in relationship to God's call in our life, the relationship to sin and sin patterns in our life, to seek God's will, to walk more fully in the Holy Spirit, and to be attentive to the Lord, to give the Lord first place, to come back no matter where we've been. I mean, the world can be a very distracting place. It can be easy to forget to put Jesus in first place because of all the demands of life. And this is the season where we do it. And boy, do we need it now. The church needs this radical abandonment and trust to God, a recommitment of our hearts to keeping first things first, to radically loving the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to keep the first commandment first, to keep it the top priority of our lives, and to really ask ourselves the question, how am I doing in relationship to my neighbor? And how is love working with my faith? And how am I using my time, my talent, my treasure? Am I denying myself and coming after the Lord? So here's the reading today from Mark chapter 8. Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself." So here's a good question. Going into the season of Lent, do you wish to come after the Lord? Do you wish to become his follower, to be identified with him, to be his disciple? That's what Jesus is talking about here. He's setting down the terms of the relationship of what it requires from our end to become a follower, an intimate follower of Jesus, and to come under his teaching, his leadership. Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself. As I mentioned earlier in the week, this is the starting point. Jesus begins there. Because what stands in the way of becoming Jesus' disciple is the self in me, the willfulness, the me first. I'm in charge. I'm in the driver's seat. I'm going to secure for myself all the things I want for myself. I'm going to make sure I get those. Yes, I'll give time to the Lord. I'll give time to the church or whatever, but I'm going to make sure all the stuff I really want, all the fun stuff in life or whatever are the idols that I might have in my life that we seek to secure. And friends, everybody battles with this kind of stuff. Jesus knows it. That's why he goes right to the heart of the matter to say, you can't serve two masters, he'll say in another place. To deny yourself, you have to acknowledge you're not your own master anymore. You belong to God. That sounds difficult, but that's mercy. That's God's kindness, because there's nothing worse than being subject to a master that's a fool. That is myself. I'm a fool apart from God. And I don't have the right valuation of what really matters and what's going to get me to the goal for which I have been made, which is to become a saint. So whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself. So that's term number one, you could say. Jesus laying down the terms of the relationship that he desires to have with you. And then he says, secondly, to take up your cross. Jesus took up the cross because it was the way the Father called him. And he called him to the cross. He had a mission for Jesus. And Jesus put the Father's will first. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That's a great line to internalize in this season of Lent. Why am I here? Well, I know I belong to another. And how do I express that belonging? His will becomes my food. I seek to accomplish whatever he wants, no matter what the trials are. So Jesus died on a cross and he said, this saying yes to the Father's will should be total, even to the point of death, if that's what is required. And he said to follow me, to follow Jesus' leadership. He said, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it. So what does it profit, therefore, a man to gain the whole world and to forfeit his life? What could one give in exchange for his life? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this faithless and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in the Father's glory with the angels. So that's a great passage to meditate on, friends, as we enter into Lent. Have a blessed weekend with friends and family. Hope you can tune in next week. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.